combination of that we do that sound and then we laugh at ourselves and we do it every time and it never gets old.
And then after we do it, we have to comment on it. It just amuses us so much.
It's like I can never, well, I don't want to put that out there because I believe in spontaneity, but I feel in this moment that I never want to do anything else other than that.
It brings me so much joy, like radical, like lightness and joy.
I agree. And it's just like a beautiful thing to know that we know what our joy is.
Right. And it's like our little kickoff, you know, like when you're playing sports and they blow the whistle.
Yeah. Or like the little like pep talk they do before.
Yeah, yeah, like go.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, da, da.
That's what we're doing.
You can tell neither of us are really that sporty.
We're not that sporty. We can't think of one. And Rock of Ages, we used to always go, hooray for boobies.
Oh, I wish we had known that when I played on the Rock of Ages softball team.
Oh, you guys could have done
it. I think we did like 1, 2, 3 rock or something kind of boring and masculine.
Yeah, boobies are so much better.
That would have been so much better. It would have delighted everyone.
Everyone's delighted by boobies.
Actually, maybe not everyone, but most.
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 A lot of people. Yeah.
But all of us at some point in our lives were delighted by it.
Yes.
Because that's how we all got fed originally. Or many of us did.
Many of us did, yeah. At some point in one's life, you've probably enjoyed a breast.
Yes, I would say... Yes.
This is how we're starting our spiritual podcast. We're starting our spiritual podcast by talking about how we delight in boobies sometimes.
So if any of you listening feel you have not had that experience, you can share that with us so we can retract our statement.
And if you feel triggered at all by our statements, we understand and we hold compassionate space.
Today we got together and we wanted to talk about invisible support. Mm-hmm. And there's that great Joseph Campbell quote about someone asked him, have you ever felt that you were helped by invisible support, by the universe, you know, by something unseen? And he had that great quote where he said, yes, absolutely, there are invisible hands guiding and working at all times, and it opens up doors where there were only walls. Mm-hmm. It makes me think about us as human beings in form. We are really good at walls. We are really good at form. We are really good at building things and constructing things. What we are not always as trained to in our awareness is the space between the walls that are built, or the opportunity to have something else other than a form. It's like we get so identified with our success and our achievements and who we are as being part of form. Mm-hmm. Who I am is my resume. Who I am is my children. Who I am is the job that I do. That we so identify with these tangible things that we tune out from the absolute things, the invisible things like love and freedom and truth and universal cosmic consciousness that is there supporting and offering something different that we don't always have eyes to see.
That's right. And I think something I've mentioned to you before is like every great show that's ever come into my life and changed my life radically, I didn't see it coming and I didn't go out and try to get it.
Yeah.
Like a present, it got delivered on my doorstep. Mm. Now, once it came delivered on my doorstep, I like showed up every day and did what I needed to do to move it forward. But it was a gift. It was grace.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I keep hearing in my meditation, it keeps coming in, is for us to open our eyes and realize how deeply supported we are by so many invisible hands. Mm. That the forces of the universe, however you want to call them or define them, because they don't care, it's literally like we got so many players on our team. And that when we walk out the door in the morning, we don't even realize how much support we have. Mm. And so something I've just been reminding myself of is, as you get on the subway, as you walk down the street, as you go into this meeting, come into it from the room is filled with invisible support that you cannot see, and we are all working on your behalf.
Mm.
So the energy goes before you and makes a way. Right? Which is even a biblical idea,
mm-hmm.
right? Of that I go before you. I know what you want before you even say it.
Yeah.
Right? But what happens in our conditioning, I think, is we think we have this story that the world is against us and that we have to fight hard.
Yeah.
And so we actually can't see the help when it's coming in, and we're not energetically available to the help because we've already built such a deep story about how it's not for us. It's not there for us.
Mm.
But so if we can just kind of like, or what I'm trying to teach myself how to do in a deeper and deeper way, like never before in my whole life, is anything that I desire, anything that I want, anything that comes up that I feel like is energetically where life is asking me to go, to see all of life is this big sports field.
Mm.
And there are all these players on the field. Like, we're not good at sports, but I'm doing a sports metaphor.
Oh my
gosh.
Okay,
here we go. So it's like all these soccer players are on the field, right? And they are saying, give us the ball.
Wow.
We can take it all the way down and make the goal for you.
Mm.
So that like our job energetically just becomes like, all right, I'm showing up in the world today. I got all the players on the field. And they're setting me up for a win.
And I think that part of the conditioning is that we don't want to ask for help because we feel then we won't get the accolades and applause and payoff of having been the person who like overcame the obstacle to make it happen for
mm-hmm.
ourselves. But I just know in my own experience that I have celebrated just as much the team events I have won as the individual events that I have won. And actually something that I was talking about recently in some of the other work I was doing is when you are striving for something, when you're going after something, the achieving of that thing we call happiness, but really what we're experiencing is relief.
Ooh.
The relief of, oh, thank goodness, it's over. I did it. Oh my goodness, I got it. There was a time I thought I was never going to get there. Oh, I didn't think it was going to happen and it did. But that's not joy. That's not happiness. That's not activation. That's relief. But there's something about when you do it in community and collaboration that there's this camaraderie of like, we did it. We did this thing. So I actually wonder if part of the conditioning is it's wrong to ask for help. It's a sign of weakness to ask for help. It is more elevated to do something on your own,
mm-hmm.
Solve a problem on your own, achieve something by yourself. But that then at best, all you can achieve is the relief from the struggle. It's almost like the equivalent of, having a headache.
Yeah.
And then when the headache goes away, you don't necessarily feel, oh, I feel joyous that I don't have a headache. You just feel relief that you're no longer in pain and suffering.
That's right.
But it's almost like if you as a collective are working towards something, then you not only get the relief of the thing being accomplished, but you actually get the celebration and the mirroring of each other of we did this thing.
And it's so much more fun to get to celebrate others right for what they do. I had this thing yesterday where I had to leave the show I'm currently directing to go start something else. And so I fully empowered my like associate director to like step forward, and she had like a whole sheet of things to do with our associate choreographer. So neither me or the choreographer were there, but they had the full company and they had a whole punch list. Can I tell you, nothing felt better than to walk in at the end of their rehearsal and they're like, they were so excited to show me what they did.
Mm.
And I got to sit down and I did no work that day. And they just showed me all these things they did. And they were so excited and they were so activated and they got to be so creative all day long and they were so proud. And I was like, well, this is how the world is supposed to work,
yeah.
Right? It's like we get to share and hand things off and not feel like we're one person trying to move mountains on our own.
Ah, that's so gorgeous. This reminds me of, I've had many awesome moments with my dad in my life where he's just taught me like so many deep life
yeah.
lessons without knowing he was. One of the ones was there was, my mom used to babysit kids. That was her job, like in our home. So we always had like all these kids at our house, which was both a joy and like when you're a teenager, you're like, I want my own room. I don't want all these kids around. So there was this one kid who we were boiling water for hot chocolate. We were all going to have hot chocolate. And the little guy said to my dad, like, you should probably pour it because I'll probably spill it. And I'll never forget in that moment me thinking, well, like, yeah, that's probably a great idea. This boy is a little bit klutzy and he often spills things and, you know, but he had also been given this message in his life that you're probably going to mess it up. And so he was kind of manifesting that reality. So I'll never forget my dad looked at him and he said, no, I'm going to give you the cup and you're going to pour it because I know that you're going to do such a great job. You're not going to spill a drop. And I remember in that moment, even thinking like, this is a bad idea, Dad, he's going to spill it everywhere. But then the level of concentration that this little guy, like, he was so determined to prove that he really could do it. Of course he didn't spill a drop.
Yes.
And I will always remember that moment of like, when you empower someone else versus always saying, I need to do it, I need to do it for you.
Yeah.
You really do set people free to become a bigger version of themselves, which is only going to help whatever project you're working on or whatever. So we get to be the invisible hands for others.
Yes.
In the same way we get to experience the invisible hands of the universe and of other people in our lives.
And I think like the universe wants to be empowered by us.
Yeah.
Right? If we are powerful creators and so what we say goes, if we say I live in a world where no one helps me, well that's what we're going to experience, right?
Yeah.
But if we say I live in a world where the entire universe is conspiring on my behalf and I empower anyone who's listening to open doors for me and to make my way straight and to give me the blessings and desires and help me achieve my purpose on the planet, we'll start to see evidence of that happening everywhere. It's like the conversation you and I were just having about your apartment and standing for a new level in your life. Will you please share? Because I think it's so juicy.
I would love to. So I am having this like rad experience of really for the last like, I mean, almost year, but like 6 months, I've been really having this calling for a new space, a new beautiful space in my life. I was feeling even like there was things I wanted to do and create, and I just wanted a space that inspired that energy. And so I was really like combing the city of New York, well, really only 20 blocks because I only wanted to live within these 20 blocks. But, you know, it was one of those things like I wanted a certain price point. I wanted things, I wanted all the things that don't actually exist for the amount of money that I wanted it to be and all the things. But I just like kept holding the vision and really like all these brokers kept saying like what you want doesn't exist. And I was like, oh, it does. You just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But it is really out there.
It does for you.
And I mean, it was like months and months and months of real disappointment of like getting so close and, you know, applications not being accepted or like someone else getting it sooner or like it not being exactly the right thing. But there was an energetic way that I took a stand for exactly what I believed was possible for me. And I, in that same realm, I had no idea how I was going to pay for it. I had no idea, you know, and even if I looked on paper, I was like, oh, this really doesn't make sense. And I really had a strong desire that I didn't want to be house poor.
Yes.
And I didn't want to be living in New York and not able to go and see a show or do anything because I had a gorgeous apartment, but that was all I had.
Right.
And I didn't want to have to work like 7 days a week and hustle to make it happen. So really, I wanted my cake and I wanted to eat it too. And I just kept holding the vision that there was going to be a way, that a way would be made if I just stood strong enough for how in love I was with the whole concept, with the space, with the energy I would feel being there. I was doing meditations on how liberating it was going to feel to be in this space. I was meditating on what it was going to feel like to open my eyes in this new space. So really, I wasn't even going around looking at that many spaces at this point. I was just doing the energetic work of just knowing the invisible hands were making the right people move and we're doing all the right things to make it happen on my behalf. So I shut down the person in me who felt like I had to go and look at apartment after apartment and get things in order. And instead, the work I chose to do was really the energetic inner work of the love and activating the love and how I would be and who I would be in this space. So of course, I find the perfect space. There were two applications ahead of mine that magically went away.
Yeah.
And magically I'm, you know, when we're in this space filming this podcast and it's the most, it's actually even bigger than my bhavana. It was bigger than what I even thought was possible. And the miracle of the hidden hands is almost the day that I moved into this place, money started coming from unexpected sources.
That's right.
To the point where just today I booked a episodic for this season.
Yay!
And so money's coming out of nowhere. Residual checks from things that I filmed years ago are coming in out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's just this beautiful thing of, had I tried to make the plan of how I was going to make enough money for myself to have this beautiful space, it would have been stress and failure.
That's right.
But when I surrendered to showing up to do the deep inner work on myself that it would take to make me a big enough space to receive that money was the real work. So it's not just about saying, I want this, universe, show me how you're doing it. It's like, I want this. How am I carving myself out to make myself available? How am I making sure that I am truly in my worthiness of receiving this? How am I cultivating that inner space that's big enough to hold it so that the miracles can flood in?
And it's, I love this story so much because it's everything we talk about how all real change happens in the inner world and like all real change happens on the mat.
Yeah.
And I know for myself that the times I've made huge quantum leaps in my life, it's happened because I got still. And in my morning practice, I went really deep into my inner world.
Yeah.
Right? So it didn't come from trying to hustle out into the real world or make things change or move or manipulate out there. It became about what happened in here.
Yeah.
And what I love so much about your story is how love was the motivating factor.
Mm.
So it was, there was nothing in you that was like, I'm going to put pressure on myself to make more money, or I'm going to like, what am I doing wrong to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
There's nothing to fix.
There was nothing to fix. It was literally about, I'm going to focus on the energy of love because how good will it feel?
Mm.
Right? So you generated inside and like, there is no stronger motivator than love, and there is no stronger attractor than love.
Yeah.
And if we can just get into conversation with our desires about, why does this desire want to come into my life? How can I love it?
Yeah.
How can I be inside the feeling tone of what this wants to bring into my life, and to energetically live in that bubble bath, you know, and to carve the space? And like, I love you, what you said about knowing that you're worthy of being able to have it.
Yeah.
Because once you can have it on the inner world, then it can come
absolutely
in form.
And then it becomes such a fun game.
Yes.
Like, everything can become a game. So even, I mean, you know, the moving process.
Yeah.
It's all the things that it is. So for me, I was like ordering all this furniture online. So then half the furniture would arrive and be like the wrong size, the wrong thing, and then you have to like get the UPS thing and get it sent back, and it's like such a thing. And it kept having to happen over and over, but I was in such that place of like abundant manifestation and love that all it became for me was this fun game of like, oh, another return, I'm getting money back again, right? So it's whatever your perspective is, you could see it all as, I finally got into this great space and now it's been problem after problem. Or like, even I had a fridge that didn't work for 2 weeks and I really kept saying, but like, I'm getting a brand new fridge. And like, the things I'm going to put in that fridge,
uh-huh,
and how grateful I am for like the yogurt that's going to be so cold that I eat from that fridge, you know. And so it's like, however you choose, you can choose to leave the state of love for anything.
Because
there are opportunities to leave the state of love at all times, but the invisible hands only exist on the plane of love. So if you want their support, you got to do what you got to do to stay on the plane that they operate from.
Woo! Boom! That is on point.
It's almost like we can't victimize our way into help.
No, you can't.
We can't sit and complain and expect the hidden hands to come and bail us out. The hidden hands are there once we are saying, let's do this together. Let's make it fun. Let's make it juicy.
Yeah.
Let's attract abundance. Let's be in the state of love. That's when those hands go, that's exactly what we're good at.
And they're there when we are in our victim story, right? They're there when we are in our ego and our drama and all of that. They're still there. They never leave. It's
never.
Just we have disconnected ourselves from the ability to hear them and to see them.
Yeah.
Right? So when we get into that zone or that place of love, right, it's like that's when the channel's open.
It's like your sports analogy. Like the end zone is the zone of love.
The end
zone. Touchdown.
That's exactly right. And yes. Also, the really cool thing about your story as well, and I think of people who might be like working on manifesting their careers, right? So if they're doing the inner work in the morning of, I am worthy of creating this on the planet, I am worthy of bringing this forward into the world, and then they're going through and, like, let's say, I'm just making up something right now, but let's say someone's writing a script, right? And in their morning time, they are seeing this story come to life, and they are seeing themselves worthy of delivering it, and they're seeing how fun it's going to be on set and how in love with these characters they are, and they're just falling in love with the manifestation, and they can smell it, and they can feel it. And then they go into their day and they get a rejection from a studio or from an agent or an actor or something of that nature, they can go, oh, this is just part of the game.
Yes.
Just like how you had furniture show up and it wasn't the right size and you sent it back. You didn't get into drama about it.
Right.
Right?
It's like, oh, I'm getting money back, and B, I get to pick a whole new thing. Right?
Yes.
Like, oh, I get to experience the joy I felt in picking this out. I get to do it again. Like, how often do we only get to do it once?
Ooh,
right?
That's so good.
Now, listen, did I want to schlep a great big box over to FedEx and do this over and over? Of course not. But I'm going to have to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So why don't I just make it the most fun? Why don't I choose a perspective that's going to be loving to myself and feel activating?
There it is. There it is. So as we go through our own work, manifesting our creations and doing our art on the planet, when things that happen that look like setbacks or that look like, oh, that wasn't, I didn't really want to do that, or I didn't want to have that experience, we can like choose to see it as a game.
Yeah. It's almost like, especially for our writers out there, it's almost like what could be a fun game is, there's the voices inside of us, right? There's the ego voice, and then there's the deep down voice that Kyle Cease talks about. It's almost like I had a client the other day. I said, why don't you write the conversation between your ego and deep down as a script and make them characters and write character descriptions? Like, ego is, 2 feet tall and does this and looks like this and says this and, write the character description. And then for deep down, or Dee Dee, as I like to call her, you write what, like, oh, she's like this gorgeous goddess in the long flowing hair and the thing, and you do her character description. And as you notice yourself go through your day with, like, ego saying what it says and deep down saying what it says, you could actually write it almost like a screenplay and write how cute it is that ego says, well, you can't do it. And Dee Dee goes, oh, that's so cute that you think that. And you actually write the script of the lines that they say to each other. And that gives you the distance of knowing that you're actually the writer of both voices.
Ooh. And who do you choose to listen to?
And then that gives the opportunity for the invisible hands to buy the script that you want them to buy.
Boom.
Yeah. How fun, right?
I know.
It's that space. It's that distance. It's that knowing that we are not our problems. We're the ones experiencing the problem. So we get to choose to see it from whatever lens we want. That's how we become the invisible hands for ourselves. And as we get more and more in that energy, more and more help can surround us. It's almost like we had a beautiful Sarah in our community who just announced that she's pregnant. And I mean, you've never seen a more glowing, beautiful pregnant lady as Sarah. She was saying how, of course, all of the ego stuff came up around, what's this going to do to my career? And like, should I be hiding it? And like, really, once she embraced it, she actually had one audition she went to say, why didn't you tell us? We would have written this into the script. Like, it's the coolest thing. Like, this is actually the most amazing information. And like, all the commercial castings and things she can go to now as a pregnant woman.
It's actually,
she could have never got before.
It's made her life bigger.
It's made her life bigger. So all of these ways that we can all step into expansion,
yeah.
All the ways that we can step into a bigger space, that's when the invisible hands can really show us what they can do. Because bigger space is sort of their domain.
That,
and we're just newly stepping into it.
They're like, the whole galaxy is our field.
Yeah.
We play it on the biggest level.
Yeah.
Oh, and I love that idea of, once we have Dee Dee on one shoulder and Eags on the other, right?
Eags and Dee Dee.
Like, as we're sitting on the subway and we watch a thought come up, we're like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, which camp?
Which camp? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and who do I want to keep writing for?
Yes. What character am I really excited about writing for? Whose story do I really want to tell here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Talk about becoming a powerful creator of your life.
And if I was the invisible hands helping, who would I be most inspired to help down there?
Right. So if you can imagine, here's your whole cast of characters, and you have someone who's writing a really convincing, like, story narrated by the Eags, mm-hmm. and someone who has, like, beautiful Dee Dee being their narrative path, who do I get the most excited to play on their team?
Who's going to draw the bigger audience?
That's right.
Who's going to be the box office hit?
Yes.
Right.
That all the players are like, I'm playing on their team.
Yeah.
Kick me the ball.
Yeah.
I can't wait to set you up.
Yeah.
So we actually want our narrative, the script which we're writing within, to be so compelling that we pull all of the invisible support to us because of the intention from which we're living.
Ugh. I love it. It's like we always have the opportunity to pitch. So we gotta really be clear on what we're pitching.
Ooh.
You know, because it's like those invisible hands, those invisible ears, mm-hmm. those invisible eyes are watching and listening and just waiting to be in energetic alignment with a project that they're excited to produce.
It reminds me of, there's this great speech Oprah gave on intention. You can just YouTube, like, Oprah intention speech. And she talks about the moment her whole life changed is when she read Gary Zukav's Seed of the Soul and really drank in this idea of intention. And mm-hmm. she said, from this point on, I'm going to be so clear about the intention of all of my actions. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. Why is my yes, yes? And why is my no, no? Mm-hmm. What is the energy behind the choices that I'm making and the things I'm deciding to do? And so she said once she got really conscious about her intention in every moment, like, everything took off to a brand new level. Mm-hmm. And in the lens now of this conversation, doesn't it make sense that once she got really clear about her intention, it called in
the help.
The help. Because, all the helpers.
Because haven't we been in that situation with a friend where it's like, I don't know how to help them? So you kind of take a back seat until you know how to help them if they're going through something. So if we imagine the universal force of love the same way, all they want to do is help. But if we don't say, this is how I need help, this is how I could be helped, then they're just sitting, and they're not sitting back being like, I'm waiting for them to work it out. They're sitting back saying, ask me. I'm right here.
Put us to work.
Put us to work.
Yeah.
I'm the best. I'm like the MVP of the universe.
Ooh.
I made the universe.
Uh-huh.
Ask me.
I can do it all.
I can do any. I made you.
Yes.
I made you and the desire you have. So trust me, I got the means.
To make it happen.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Like, why would I make a desire that doesn't have a, way to manifest?
It actually becomes silly. If we know the universe put the desire in us, has all the means to fulfill it, why we wouldn't co-conspire
ask.
And create?
Why we wouldn't ask?
Oh. Hold on, pause for a second. I'm going to say that one more time.
Say it again, just, say it again just in
okay.
case.
Okay, here we go. This is the, so we're just saying it's a little silly if we know that this universe put inside this desire for us to do something in the world, and also has all of the resources, why we wouldn't enlist them in co-creating this in the world.
Yeah.
Right? All the help is there.
All the help is there.
It's already there.
And so I guess our challenge for you guys listening is take on energetically that the help is there. Not, I wonder if the help will show up. Not, I wonder if the help is there. Take on energetically, the help is there.
Yeah.
So if I'm not receiving it, there's nothing wrong with the help. There's something blocked. There's a space in me that hasn't been made big enough to receive the help. So I am not going to complain about why the help hasn't shown up. I'm going to look inside myself and say, carve me out. Let my faith be big enough. Let Dee Dee mm-hmm. talk to me. Let whatever needs to happen, happen, so that I can be a willing receiver of the abundance that I was put here to have.
That's exactly right. And I'm reading this really cool book right now called E Cubed. And it's experiments in energy and like to for you to try out in your own life. It's by this woman named Pam Grout, but it's experiments to try in your own life so that you can see that magic and miracles are your birthright and that the universe is working for you.
So give it a shot. Let us know how it goes. Come to the Create Community Facebook page and hang out and tell us about the miracles.
Woo!
We can't wait.
We can't wait.
If you love us, come find us on Twitter and Instagram at the Create Play Group. And let your friends know about how fun we are.
Yeah. If you like this podcast, pass it on to someone you love.
We also just launched our brand new shiny fancy website at www.thecreateseries.com. So come and check out our cute pictures.
And we have this really cute free download of how to develop a morning practice that works for you. So if you come and you put in your cute little email, not only do you get love notes from us.
You do.
But you also get this really cool sheet on how to develop a morning practice to get you into conversation with the powers that will work for you.
So we love you. And that's it. That's all.
That's all.
All right. Woo!
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!